Our scripture today comes from Luke chapter 21. I invite you to take out your Bible and turn with me there to our scripture for the reading of the good news, beginning in verse 25. And here Jesus is teaching, and here's what he says. He says, there will be signs in the sun, moon, and stars. And on the earth there will be dismay among nations in their confusion over the roaring of the sea and surging waves. And the planets and other heavenly bodies will be shaken, causing people to faint from fear and foreboding of what is coming upon the world. And then they will see the human one coming on a cloud with power and great splendor. And now when these things begin to happen, stand up straight and raise your heads because your redemption is near. Then Jesus told them a parable. Look at the fig tree and all of the trees. When they sprout leaves, you can see for yourselves and know that summer is near. In the same way, when you see these things happening, you know that God's kingdom is near. And I assure you that this generation won't pass away until everything has happened. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will certainly not pass away. Take care that your hearts aren't dulled by drinking parties, drunkenness, and the anxieties of day-to-day life. Don't let that day fall upon you unexpectedly, like a trap. It will come upon everyone who lives on the face of the whole earth. So stay alert, at all times praying that you are strong enough to escape everything that is about to happen and to stand before the human one. It's the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Lord, you are the God of our hope. May we experience the hope of your embrace and find ourselves at home in your presence. In Jesus' name, amen. So last Sunday, we were on vacation. And I am thankful for the Reverend Tom Fraze, and who graciously filled in the pulpit and handled several pastoral care calls for us. And I'm also thankful for Reverend Jimmy Snow, who also handled some pastoral care calls. But I'm especially thankful for this community, for you, for a people who encourages their pastor to take a vacation. And many of you even celebrated us going on vacation. But I'm also thankful for our ministry teams and our wonderful staff and volunteers and all the people who come together that allowed us to relax and for me to not have to worry about anything that was going on here while on vacation, because I knew that everything would be handled with grace and professionalism and competence. And your love and your support are truly special. They touch my heart in a deep way, and so every Sunday I am honored to get up here and to share the gospel and to share the good news with you and the rest of our community of what God is doing in our lives. Now, while we were on vacation, we went to the Gulf Coast, and we spent several days there just sitting on the beach with the waves crashing just inches from our feet, all the while our tired little bodies just laid there doing absolutely nothing while the sun just rotated over us. It was glorious. I remember about the fourth day in, friend and I were having a conversation, and she turned and looked at me and said, I could just lay here forever. And then looked at me again and said, but I know you can't. And she was right, because by that time, my body and my mind were feeling rested, and we were ready to get back at it. But something else happened while we were on vacation. We experienced a little bit of a shock, unexpected shock. Because here we were, still a week or two out from Thanksgiving, and we get into town, and every place, the whole town, the stores, the restaurants, are completely decked out in full-blown Christmas regalia. Trees and tinsels and Christmas lights, and it's not for Thanksgiving, It's for Christmas. And even the restaurants were playing Christmas music. Now, I imagine that today, being the first Sunday of Advent, some of you are feeling or experiencing some similar shock. I mean, here we are. It's time to get ready, and we're wondering, where did the year go? What happened to all of that time we had? Is it really the Christmas season already? Is anyone else feeling that way? Yeah, a lot of us. More than we like to admit it. I mean, it's here. But now as our brains are making this transition to the holiday expectations, I'm wondering, what's on your mind? What is it that you're thinking about? Are you thinking about home, of going home, of being home? Or maybe you're like me, that even though we were on vacation, there was this sense of homecoming, of going home and celebrating these very holy days. This year, our Advent and Christmas theme is homecoming. I want to ask you, what is homecoming? Well, if you're a college football team, it's a really easy game. Thank you. But really, homecoming is a chance to go home. And maybe for you, that means it's time with family, or maybe an opportunity to worship with your church, in church, or to be with the people that mean the most to you. And when you're home, you have an advantage. You know the field, you know the turf, you know the territory, you know the crowd, and they know you. And hopefully, they're cheering you on. Well, isn't it good to know that God is always cheering you on? You know, we often dream of homecomings. The home can be a place where we grew up, or the place where we've settled, or it can be a specific time where we knew that everything was going to be all right. And for most of us, home is a place that makes us feel at ease, warm, welcome, safe. And for many of us, home kindles memories and emotions of joy. Homecoming has this air of excitement. It's a place of possibilities. It's a time for transformation where we can slough off that hard outer shell that we built up over the past year to protect ourselves from the cruel outside world. It's a time where we can simply be ourselves together and relax in the company of our community or our friends or our family. And maybe for you, homecoming is going back to that childhood respite. Or maybe it's the return, waiting for the return of your loved ones to come back home. Or maybe for those who are worshiping online, if you're able to be here, it's getting back in worship together. Or yet, perhaps it's something grander, even more heavenly, as we anticipate that heavenly experience, that we can know and rest assured that those four that we said farewell to in the past few weeks are now in their eternal home. But no matter where you are, it's a place that you're invited to get together, where you gather around the table, where you celebrate what was and what is and what is to come. And it's through Jesus, the what is to come is that expectation of something better. And it's called hope. Hope is what we want more of. Does anybody else want more hope? Yes, we want more hope. We need more hope. And hope is exactly what the people wanted and needed in our scriptures today. See, in Jeremiah, in the scriptures we heard about there, the Babylonians had just conquered Jerusalem. And Zedekiah, the king of Jerusalem, was deposed. And the temple was destroyed. And the people were exiled. They were scattered throughout the Babylonian Empire. And both the king and the temple were symbols that pointed the people to God. And they're now gone. And if that's not enough, the land, their promised inheritance, their home was all gone too. And so we hear the words of the prophet Jeremiah in chapter 33, and he gives them a word of hope. He says, someday, the Lord says, I will raise up a new king, a true king, a forever king, and the people will be saved. And they will return home in safety. And they will call this king, the Lord is our righteousness. Meaning that this is the king who will make us right with God. And this is the homecoming that we are all waiting for. This is the homecoming that we're all hoping for. And we see this taking place when Jesus arrives on the scene. See, it's through his birth and his ministry, through his life of powerful service, he's healing people, he's restoring them, he's offering them a taste of tangible hope. He's offering them a view of his heavenly home. Except it's a little different than what the people at the time expected. See, even though hundreds of years before Jesus, the diaspora of people had returned home to Jerusalem and Judea, and they had rebuilt the temple, and even though the temple was rebuilt, and even though Babylon had fallen, and even though they were led by Herod, technically a Jewish king, the people now lived under Roman rule. And Rome was a different kind of ruler. See, what had started out as a republic became an empire. And everything the empire did was designed to feed the engine of power for that empire. Yet it was sold to the people as something for their own good. For example, the Roman emperor had what was called the imperial cult, or the cult of the emperor. Wouldn't you like to have a cult that followed you around singing your praises and worshiping you? No? Man, you guys got better character than me. What this meant was that they considered the emperor was divinely placed there by the gods, that he himself was a god, that he himself was to be worshipped, and that his rule was a gift to the people. Yet many people, especially the Jews and the Jewish people, despised Rome, and they despised anyone that worked for Rome or represented Rome. However, they also knew that Rome had zero tolerance for dissension. And so they held on to their grief and their despair in silence, sometimes eking out a quiet murmur. Yet they prayed. They prayed for God to send the true Messiah, the true divinely anointed one, the true Son of God. They prayed and they waited patiently with hope. And so in Luke 21, when Jesus gives them an apocalyptic discourse, their ears perk up. What's this? To those with the heart and the ears and the minds to see and to hear and listen to what Jesus is saying. Pay attention. He reveals a special time is coming. In fact, for many, those days are already here. And his words remind them of the prophet Daniel and his words on the coming kingdom of God. And Jesus describes how terrible days lie ahead, how the world will be overwhelmed with cosmic chaos and confusion, and even creation will tremble. And the people will be overwhelmed with anxiety. Does that sound familiar? Anybody relate to that? But then, using a metaphor of springtime, he tells them to wake up, to be alert, to pay attention, get ready, because your day of redemption is near. And these are the signs of Scripture being fulfilled. These are the signs of the promised King. These are the signs of the kingdom of heaven. These are the signs of the coming great day of homecoming. And while Jesus was speaking metaphorically that this generation will not pass away, it's a call that is echoed to each generation that follows. It's a call that's echoed to us, to me, and to you, that we all wait in hope for the great homecoming, the return of the human one, aka the Son of Man, aka the true Son of God, Jesus. And as we wait in that anticipation, we each get to see what God has done. We each get to see what Jesus has accomplished. We each get to bear witness to the power of his life-changing gospel in our life and in the world around us. Even in today's chaotic world that trembles with pain and fear and anxiety, I ask you, do you see it? Do you hear it? Are you looking for it? Have you known the good news of the kingdom of God? Because it's right here. It's right now, and it's happening all around us. Just like Jesus, it is the fulfillment of his word, and it will never end or stop or go away. And it happens every time you pray. It happens every time you show mercy to someone who is hurting or lonely or lost. And it happens every time you offer a glimpse or a taste or share a moment of hope. And you can be a part of this homecoming. You can offer the hope of home, because it's an expression that is bound up in the love of God. That when you share the same love that God has given you, when you share it with your family or with your friends or with your neighbors or with a stranger or even with someone that you think or feel is unlovable, you can be a part of this homecoming. By sharing the hope of home every time you offer the same grace that Jesus offers you, that even when we all mess up, even though we all fail, Jesus' grace continues to draw us closer, to change our hearts, and to make us better, and to make a better way for us. This is the grace that we're given to share, even with those who hurt us. And you can be a part of this homecoming when you show them real, relevant, and relational hope. That is, you can help them experience hope by making life better and helping others to be better at life through Jesus Christ. But ultimately, you are a part of this homecoming, whether you realize it or not, because the Holy Spirit dwells in you. You are welcomed into the kingdom of heaven. And that no matter where you are or where you've been or what you've been through or what you're going through right now, God loves you and is inviting you into his home. A heavenly home. A home not made with human hands, but a home that is eternal in the heavens. And every time we imitate Jesus by inviting someone into our earthly home, our humanly handmade home, or into the home of our heart by unconditionally loving them, we are inviting them to experience the kingdom of heaven. Now, this reality may shock you or surprise you more than the slipping of the holy days upon us and the holidays as they sneak up on us. But it's here. It's real. It's now. And you can be a part of it. And this is the invitation that God is offering us. This is the invitation of hope that I hope you will receive today and that you will share today by accepting and sharing the unconditional love, the unlimited grace, and the incalculable hope of Jesus. That he is the one who welcomes each and every single one of you, all of us, into his home, into his table, and into his family. And you are invited to gather together and to celebrate what was, what is, and what is to come through Jesus Christ, who is our hope. You're invited, whether you're here or listening online or watching online or in the car or wherever you are, you are invited to homecoming, into community, into worship with us, into the presence of God. And may it be a place that you can call a home of hope. Amen.